Scripture reading today is James 5, 7 through 12. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, and that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation.
Already had a test of patience this morning, so you're all set for today's message. Because in James chapter 5, verses 7 to 12, we're dealing with patience in suffering. Because each one of us at some time in our life have dealt with a certain amount of suffering. And some of you might say, well, it comes every Sunday morning, but hopefully not. But sometime in our life, we go through a portion of suffering when we ask the Lord, how long? How long does this take, Lord? You know, we make the joke of making the prayer request, give me patience, Lord, and give it to me now. And that's the way a lot of us are. We're wanting to practice patience, but in the real world, we're not really much patient at all. And so our patience in the midst of life's challenges should mark us as true believers as a sure sign of real faith. So before we dive into this any further, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that you would bless this time now, as long or short as it may be. Help us to exhibit a certain amount of patience in dealing with our problems as well as the problems with others. We know, Lord, that each one of us has a story. Each one of us is a book. And there are many things that we reveal to other people, and yet there are other things that we don't reveal to anyone, even sometimes to you, Lord. And so we pray that during this time that you would show us either how to be patient or to be more patient in ourselves and with others. And through this time that we would see you honored and glorified through all that is done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've already dealt with some patience this morning because our electronics are not working. And so such is part of that. And so when you look at James chapter 5, starting with verse 7, there are really three parts to this message. And the first part is the command of patience. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. So, for those of you that have planted your gardens, what have we seen so far? Have we seen the early rain or the latter rain? Or maybe it's hard to tell because it hasn't stopped raining. I don't know. But I think what we had yesterday was the early rain, because things are just starting to come out of the garden, you know, go up a little inch or so, and it's exciting to see those things grow and so forth. And yet, as those things come to fruition and we go later into the season, we like those things, the fruit of our labors, to grow larger and larger. You know, the bigger tomatoes, the bigger peppers, the long beans and so forth. We need that latter rain as much as we need the early rain. And you say, well, haven't we had enough rain? Well, let me consider the opposite of this. Have you ever been in a drought? You know, we went through that down in North Carolina a few years ago where you turn on the spigot and it just goes because you got nothing in your garden or in your well. And that can be quite a challenge too. And so, you know, as much as we were talking about the church at Thyatira last week and our round the table, lukewarm, sometimes we like it lukewarm. We don't want it too wet. We don't want it too dry. We want it, you know, somewhere in the middle. So we have to be patient with God. We have to be patient with ourselves. Again, if you look at verse 7, there's some Greek words there that we use for the word patient. And one of those is makrothymio. You want me to spell that for you? M-A-K-R-O-T-H-Y-M-E-O. Makrothymio, a Greek word, means to preserve, to be patient, to wait long, and be long-tempered. So even in that sense, where it says, you know, hath long patience for it, you know that when, you know, this is how gardens work. You plant something, whether it be a seed or a sprout or so forth. You don't expect to see fruit the next day. You know it's going to take time. You look at the back of that package of seeds and it says 42 days till harvest. And so you just can't expect it to happen overnight. And some take a little bit longer. And for us, sometimes achieving patience takes a little bit longer too. Another Greek word that we see in this passage is apisotrophos, to turn back, or to turn and change direction. In other words, to turn around from the being the impatient person to one who's a little more patient. I'll give you a couple examples that we live through every day. Okay, you get on the phone. Your call is important to us. Stay on the line and somebody will be with you shortly. And then you start doing the countdown every 30 seconds. Your call is, you know it because you've all been through it. And so that tests our patience. Or we get into a situation, whether we're standing in line or something like that, and we kind of quietly say to ourselves, you're wasting my time. Well, when did your time become so important? Romans 8:28 tells us, for all things work together for good. So you're standing in that line or you're being put on hold is a test of your patience. No, we don't want to be indisposed or bothered, but those things happen. And when we do, how do we respond to it? Do we respond as an unsaved person and say, this is not going to happen again? Or do we just say, you know, Lord, there's a reason for this, and we just need to be patient about it? Here again, our sin nature tells us when we have been wronged, and so we make every attempt to retaliate. It says evil for evil, an eye for an eye, or even that slow burn. I'll get back someday. You know, and so we kind of go through those things ourselves. Christ's coming in judgment, and through the rest of chapter 5, it deals with different ways with us being patient. So some of these that I've given you are based pretty much on verse 7 with the idea of planning something and waiting patiently. But we ourselves have to be patient with others as much as we want others to be patient with us. In verse 8, we come to the second part, the examples of patience. Okay, we've already talked about growing things, and so a farmer waits patiently through his growing season so he can reap the fruit of his labors. We need to be patient and don't take matters into our own hands until Christ returns. Allow God to handle the situation in his own way and in his own time. You see what it says in verse 8? Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened today. We don't even know if it's going to happen tomorrow. But until the Lord returns, we just need to be patient. Suppose something happened, the Lord returns, did it matter? No. We're with God for eternity, and we don't need to be as patient anymore because now we live in that eternity called heaven, God's kingdom, and we are in the most wonderful place to be, and we don't have to worry about those things anymore. So, number one, one example is to be being patient. Number two, it says, strengthen your hearts. Okay? Strengthening your hearts is how we respond when we have been wronged. There's an illustration in one of the books that I use from Chuck Swindoll. And the way the story goes, and some of you have had this kind of problem, he's in a parking lot, and he parks next to a guy, and for some reason, as he turns into that parking space, he bumps into the guy's bumper. All right, gets out of the car, looks at the bumper, can't see anything, you know, no scratches or anything, and the guy's going off the wall. You bumped my car, you scratched it. Well, I'm sorry that I bumped your car, but as you can see, you can't see any damage there. Oh, yes, just you wait. And so the guy proceeds to take his car door and goes, bang, bang, bang against Chuck Swindoll's door. And it's like, okay, now we're even. He just walks away. And Chuck happened to have his son with him. And the moral of the story was to be patient. I mean, yeah, he could have dented the car or chipped some paint, but those are things easily fixed. The things that are not easily fixed are when Christians retaliate just like an unsaved person and say, well, how do you like that? I'll really bump into your bumper this time. And I got thinking to myself, what happened in 1974? I know, 50 years ago. But remember, they used to have cars that their bumpers would withstand a 5-mile-an-hour crash, so to speak, you know, and Consumer Reports did all this testing to see if their bumpers would actually work that way. What happened to those bumpers? You got no bumpers anymore. You bump into somebody, your car's totaled. At least that's what the insurance company says. So, you know, the verse we want to use here for strengthening our hearts is Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will not allow the righteous to be shaken. You know, one of the things I see in great leadership are people who go through trials, tribulations, but seemingly are not shaken by those trials or tribulations. Many pastor does that, although you may see something differently when he's not standing in front of his congregation. You may see it with a president who stands in front of the country and gives a glowing speech, but on the other hand, prays for the people in his country and so forth. You just see different instances where people who stand before you in a way that you don't see the emotional side of who that person is. Now, as we go on, one of the examples that we see here is Joseph in Genesis 50:20. Now, I know Janice mentioned this because there's a lot of things that Janice mentions in the ladies' Bible study that end up in my message. Not that I'm taking notes, because it was already written down here before I got here today. But there's a fine verse there, because, again, we know that Joseph went through a lot of trials. Brothers hated the guy, put him in a pit, left him for dead. He ended up in slavery. Eventually, he ends up an overseer in Potiphar's house. And then while he's the overseer in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife says, "Hey, nice guy. Got any plans?" Well, she had plans for him, but that wasn't God's plan. And so he ends up in jail again. And those brothers that wanted to do him in were the ones that came to Joseph during the time of famine. And so Joseph went through a lot of trials and came out honoring God on the other side. So it says in Genesis 50:20, "His brothers meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about the present result, to preserve many people alive." So many times when people are looking at situations and they say, "I'm going to get this guy, I'm going to get even," let God handle it. He's going to bring about things for good. And even though we can't see it today, it is not for us to see. All we know is God's in control, and all we have to do is let him take control of that situation. Okay, number three on our message, and we're steaming right along here, and already 15 minutes. How about that? Number three is the demonstration of patience. In verse 9, it says, "Don't complain. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." So many years my wife and I had taught in school, and you're teaching along and you're dealing with your kids and so forth, and you look up and there's the principal standing at the door. Did I say something? Did I do something? Well, usually you find out later. But usually the demonstration of peace means not to worry about it, but don't complain. Okay? Grudge not one against the other. Don't grumble, groan, complain against one another. There's really no place for that in Ridge Baptist Church. If you've got a complaint, come see me. Now, unlike the church down the road, we don't have a confessional or anything like that. But, you know, conversation is good, but we're not going to grumble or complain. God is not honored by things like that. Those who point fingers and complain about others will be subject to God's discipline. Now, in your Bibles, in Hebrews 12, verses 5 to 11, it tells us, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou hast rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye, without chastisement whereof, are all partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjected unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after our own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And so, again, sometimes we forget about God's promises. And we go through difficult circumstances. We think we're going through those circumstances all by ourselves, but no, God is with you, and you're just forgetting about the help and the strength that God has for you. Now, some years ago, I actually got the audio book of Max Lucado. He has a book called "You'll Get Over This," and my wife has heard it many a time because we had it in our car. And one of the things that Max Lucado says, And this is something we need to think about in our particular trials. It may be long. It may be painful. But God will see you through. I'll repeat that again. It may be long. It may be painful. But God will see you through it. You know? And we see our prayer list and we see a number of people with different kinds of maladies and so forth. We also see people who have a need of salvation. And as we have learned in previous lessons, sometimes those maladies are as a result of God desiring us to come back to Him. I think I told you last year how sometimes God has to put us flat on our back so we're staring up at the ceiling and say, what is it that you want me to do, Lord? It's not so much that I have this malady or that malady, but it's to get my attention. And so verse 10 talks about a suffering affliction, suffer with patience. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Now, I've used this example over and over again, and again, I'll use it today. Job, who experienced personal, financial, physical hardship, and went through some temporary suffering to give way to the abundance of blessing that reflected the compassion and mercy of God. No? Can some of us identify with Job today? Have we lost it all? Are we in that spot where I don't know how I'm going to get out of my existing problem or a pending problem? But with God's help, He's going to help you out of it. And He's going to see you to be a victorious Christian going through those trials and so forth. Verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. And then it talks about the patience of Job and so forth. So the ultimate reward and blessing, whether in this life or in the life to come, because it says that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I think of the Lord sometimes as a friend who comes up to you, puts their arm on your shoulder, or holds your hand and say, you don't have to worry about a thing. I've got it under control. You're my friend, and I'm going to see you through this. And sometimes we just have to remember that the Lord is in control. He doesn't want anything to happen to you that He doesn't want you to go through, like Job. Job went through what he went through because Satan came to God and said, who can I tempt? And there was my trusted servant, Job. Go ahead and try him, because he knew he was going to come out on the other side praising the Lord. Now, you might say to yourself, since this lesson deals with patience, Lord, I don't have the patience to go through a trial. Well, there's a place to start. Ask God for patience, and He will bless you. Now, under the demonstration of patience, it says in verse 12, don't swear. Now, we have to clarify some terms here. You know, swear not, neither by heaven or by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. As you well know, there's two kinds of swearing. One which we don't need to talk about because I think we're pretty clear on that. But the swearing we're talking about in verse 12 means taking an oath, by taking God into the circumstances to give validity to our comments. Okay? We say things like, as God is my witness, I do this. Before God, I will fill in the blank. These are the things we need to think about. So, just think about what you're saying that to do before God and so forth. Matthew 5:37 talks about making your yes, yes, and your no, 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 and so forth. Be the genuine Christian that you ought to be. Make your yes, yes. If God wants you to be a positive Christian, then be that positive Christian. I know what God wants me to do, and this week I plan to do it. If there's something in my life that ought not to be there, then I need to say, no, I don't need to do that. I won't do this. I won't put myself in the path of temptation. But because I know it's there, and when I get to that point, I have a choice. I can be patient with myself and say, you know what the consequences are. You know what you can do. For every act that we have, there's something else that God can have us do that will lead us in the right path. We don't have to go down the wrong trail. Now, you know, they always say, when the pastor says, in conclusion, you're good for another 20 minutes. Well, you should know better than that by now. So if you've been sleeping for the last 25 minutes and you want the short course, here it is. You know, like they say in the NBA, you know, if you're watching those playoffs and so forth, you only have to watch the last 2 minutes. Because nothing's happened up till then. You know, the score is still tied or 2 points, and so you're okay. But here it is in a nutshell, okay? This is for you that like the short course, and this will help you tremendously. Okay? What to do, how to do right when you've done wrong. Okay, number one, don't focus on the situation. Be patient. Okay, don't look at the current situation and say, I've got things I got to do. I'm going to be late if I do this and so forth. Be patient. Be patient with the people involved. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with God. There's a lesson there for you, and probably you need to learn that. Number two, don't focus on yourself. Be strong. Too many times we focus on ourselves. Next week is Father's Day. You know, we always think of Father's Day as the ego builder. You know, Dad, yes, bring it on. But sometimes we let our egos get in the way, and we just need to take the focus off ourselves and put the focus on God. Be strong. Number three. Don't focus on someone to blame. Don't complain. Well, if it wasn't for that guy, I would have been fine today, but yeah, he just ruined my whole day. Well, what lesson did you learn? Did you claim Romans 8:28, or you want to blame that person for all your problems in life? Now, I could make this a prayer request, but I'm just going to use it as an example. We had a pastor down in Wilson, North Carolina, who came along, and he did a good job for 1 year. And then his doctrine started to get, what do they call that, 6 degrees off center. You know, so the further away you get, the further away it is from where it should be. And so my oldest son was singing a solo, and he criticized him for the way he sang it. There was nothing wrong with it. You know, it wasn't a contemporary song or anything like that. But because he complained about it, Joel decided, I'm just not going to sing anymore. I can't stand that criticism. But, you know, a lot of times we have to step back and say, okay, here's a pastor that criticized me for such and such. Put it behind you. Put it behind you. Don't let something that happened last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, make your physical condition such that I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to that church anymore because that's where it happened. But that church is, you know, that pastor's long gone, or that person is long gone. Take a step back and say, I'm willing to give them another try. But don't complain. Number four, don't focus on the present. Look to the future for insight. Don't think about what makes you impatient today, but look forward to the patience that God has for you and your life. How long has God been waiting for you to read your Bible? How long has God been waiting for you to have a good prayer life? How long has God been waiting for you to be a good neighbor to that person that you find difficult to work with? We have to think not only where we are, but where God wants us to be in the future. And when we do that, we can see that God's been patient with us, and we need to be patient with others. Let's pray.